So today, as we continue our study through the book of Proverbs, we come to the topic of our words. And as I was preparing for this, I started looking up all the proverbs that deal with words, the mouth, the tongue, our speech. And there are many, many, many proverbs that deal with this topic. Today, the way I want to approach it is, in this lesson, I just want to focus on the point that the wise will control his words. The wise will control his words. So as we look at this, we want to first think about the importance of our words. Then we want to think about principles for the use of our words. And then finally, summarize some of the lessons. So going back, you might remember this diagram. So you might recall there's two paths that we can travel along. There's a path of wisdom and there's a path of folly. And as the prudent man is considering, as he's discerning his way, as he's looking forward, he looks down these paths and he considers what are the consequences of going down those paths. And as he's looking at this, there's an action point. There's a trigger point here. A decision point. As you're going through life, you face decisions every day. One of the decisions you have to face is, what words will I use? And as you think about that decision may lead you down a path of wisdom where there are certain consequences, or it may lead you down a path of folly where there are certain consequences. Our words are important. Our words have consequences. So what I wanted to do first is to think about the consequences of our words. What is the importance of our words? Our words affect others. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, and we're going to look at a lot of Proverbs, so I have these up on the screen, or you can turn with me in the Word of God, but Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." So we see here a situation where the words someone is using, they're likened to sword thrusts, to the piercing of a sword. Words that are rash, words that are spoken without really thinking about it, without considering the consequences of those words. Those words might be unkind, inconsiderate. So what is the consequence? As you think about this, what would be the consequence of words such as that? Anyone? Sword thrust. What do you think of when you think of a sword piercing? What happens to the person? Pain. Pain. Injury. They can be cutting. They hurt. They leave wounds. A deep sword thrust will leave a wound, and that wound can be a lasting wound. But you see the contrast here, the tongue of the wise. The tongue of the wise is thoughtful. He's thinking about his words. And he realizes that instead of seeking to be hurtful, the consequence of his words is what? Very clear. Healing. Healing. So our first consequences are very straightforward. Your words can either heal or they can hurt. So now let's look at another set of Proverbs. Let's turn to chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 says, in verse 4, "A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So I was thinking about they're likening words to a tree of life. So when you think about a tree, you know, this is a tree of life. This isn't a dead tree. This is not a tree with no fruit, with no leaves. This is a tree of life. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, okay, this is a tree that bears fruit. There's fruit there for you to be able to benefit from. There's shade there to help you to find relief when you're under the burning sun. So a gentle tongue is likened to that. So what are the consequences of using a gentle tongue? What can you think? What would be some consequences? I kind of said a few there. It benefits somebody. It can strengthen someone, do you not think? It can be a word of encouragement. If you're walking along and you're hungry and there's a bit of fruit, you can grab that fruit from that tree of life and take a bite of it. It can strengthen your spirit and your body as you're going along. There can be a relief. You know, you're under a burden. There's a sun beating down upon you. You've been traveling down a path. You know, we go hiking at times and you're out there on the hard, hot path and there's a tree and now there's shade and you can go underneath of it. And it can bring you some relief. It can give you comfort, encouragement. But the contrast, perverse tongue, perverse words. When we speak words that are perverse, it breaks. It breaks the spirit. Breaking the spirit, to me, discourage. You tear down, you break down a person. You're being, again, hurtful. And then in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, you don't have to turn there, it's up on the board. But here's an example of how that actually can affect a person. You have a man here whose heart is weighed down because of anxiety. You have a brother that is just struggling with worry and concern and care, and it's just burdening him, it's weighing him down. The words that you speak to that brother are so important. And they can have consequences. You bring the word of God. You bring a good word of comfort, a word of sympathy, a word of encouragement from God's word. And the result of that, it can lift his spirits. It can make him glad. It can help him as he's struggling with that burden and anxiety. So as we think about our words, consequences, words can encourage. Or they can discourage. Okay, a couple others. This is something we've looked at before. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Do you ever find yourself in a situation where there's maybe some tension starting to build? You're in a conversation. Maybe you start to sense anger on the part of the person you're speaking to. The words you use, the way you respond to that person, can have consequences. If you give a soft answer, God tells us that the soft answer can bring calm and peace, it can turn away wrath. But the converse, the opposite, if you come back with a harsh word, reviling for reviling, I'm going to give you an angry word and back for your angry word. What happens? It escalates. It stirs it up. It's like, you know, you're just stirring that thing up and it's just going to start to bubble over and it's just going to stir up the anger in his heart and in your heart, and you're going to lose peace. You're going to lose any calm that may have come from your conversation with that person. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 15 speaks of a With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. You have a picture here of you're going to a ruler. So this person has authority. How are you going to convince him? How are you going to persuade him? How are you going to, maybe he's resisting you. You go to the ruler and you say, I would like you to do such and such, whatever it might be. And he says, no. Now you can get yourself angry about it and you can start to battle back and forth, right? You can give them strong words, but it says, with patience, it says, a soft tongue. Calm, patient, diplomacy. Gentle diplomacy can break a bone. That bone, a bone is like, it's a hard, it's bones are hard. So isn't it interesting? Something soft can break something hard. And our words, spoken correctly, those soft words can break a bone, can break that resistance. So, I'll just summarize this here. Our words can bring, I'll just call it peace. Or strife. So we have different consequences of based on the words that we use. Okay? Can I keep? So we've talked a bit about the importance of our words and their effect on others. Do words have an effect on you? Yes. Our words can have an effect on us. Proverbs chapter 14 says, by the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. In Proverbs 18, it says, a fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. You know, you can be in a scenario, you can be in a situation, and it's like you open your mouth. It's like, why did I say that? All it's going to do is it's going to create strife. I'm inviting a beating. Now, you all know I'm a Penn State fan, I think. Most of you know that. And I had a wonderful opportunity a few weeks ago to go to a football game. And that football game was between Penn State and the University of Michigan. I think we all know the outcome of that game. I read this proverb before going to that game. Now, I have found at times at games I get kind of animated and cheer and can be loud, and I wear my gear and all this. But going to that game, I said to myself, do I want to invite a beating? I did not wear my hat. I sat calmly. Much of the game was my head down, quite honestly. But still, I just use that as an example. There's times we need to think about the effect of our words, and maybe, you know, we should not be just blurting out, speaking out, pouring forth words, and inviting a beating for ourselves. But also think about this. A fool's mouth is his ruin. A fool's mouth is his ruin. We see, I think you see it in today's world. How many times you have to say, why did that guy say that thing? Wow. And you also realize in this today's age, the words you speak are recorded. They come back at you. And it can sometimes have an impact on you and be to your ruin. But as a Christian, think about this. People are watching us every day at work or in our lives, day to day. And the situation you're in and the way you speak, it can cause you to ruin your testimony. And so we need to be very careful and considerate about the consequences of the words that we speak, because it could cause us ruin. And then we see here the lips are a snare to a soul. The lips are a snare to a soul. First of all, let's just say here that our words can either avoid trouble or it can get us into trouble, right? But let's think about that snare. Words can be a snare. Words can lead to sin. Our words can lead to sin. You know, it says here that when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Words we speak, we keep talking. Sometimes we need to just stop it. Because it can end up leading to sin. It can be a snare to us. We can make a commitment that we regret. We can say things that we regret. They can be a snare to our soul. But the prudent man, he foresees the consequences. He understands the importance of his words and he restrains his lips. Then in Proverbs 16 we see, a worthless man plots evil. And here's a man, he's got evil in his heart. His words are sinful. And his words are likened to what? A scorching fire. In this case, what does the fire do? It destroys. So your speech can lead to sin. Sin that is so evil it can destroy not only yourself but others. Now this whole topic of sin, the issue of lies, slander, gossip, flattery, pride, the whisperer, demeaning words, reviling words. Look in the Proverbs. There's so many. We're not going to take that up today. We'll take that up, Lord willing, maybe in another lesson. But still, the point is, without getting into all the detail, the consequences can be sin. I need to move a little faster here. Importance of our words. Proverbs 15. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool pours out folly. Lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the heart of the fool. We have a picture here of a wise man. He's spreading knowledge. Consequences of the words he uses, knowledge is spread. Try to spell right. And then the fool, he just spreads foolishness. Now I wanted to add this in here. Proverbs 16:24 says, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and to the body. Gracious words, so you can bring health and healing and comfort and joy and happiness, physical and emotional benefit to a person. But also, our words can go deeper. They have an impact on the very soul of a person. When you are dealing with a brother or sister in Christ and they are struggling, gracious words, the Word of God, can bring comfort and encouragement to his soul, where he will then have faith and he will continue on through that trial. He will trust more fully in the Lord. He will fight sin and remain faithful. And if you're dealing with an unbeliever, your words can have a benefit to his soul as well. Bringing the gospel to that lost person, what greater sweetness is there than the sweetness of the gospel to a lost sinner who's struggling with their sin? So our words can have an impact on both the body and soul of a person. And then finally, I hope you see the power of words. The power of words, they bring life or death. Good words, gracious words, gentle words, soft words, comforting words, truthful words, wise words lead to life. They bring life. The consequences is life. Or death. Think about that. What great power there is in our words. If we choose evil words, rash words, harsh words, cutting words, perverse words, lying words, foolish words, the consequences is death. So we talked about consequences. So, what do we do? How do we select our words? What do we do? Well, do you remember when we talked about looking at the consequences, looking at the path, making the decision point on our words, we said that in everything, a prudent man acts with knowledge. So when you're making that action and selecting that word, you act with knowledge. And that knowledge should come and be based on and driven by and guided by the Word of God. So what we're going to do for the rest of this lesson is we're going to look at principles from the Word of God as to what will help us and guide us and direct us as we seek to select words, keeping in mind what the consequences will be. First, Proverbs 26:4. For the sake of time, I'm just going to read these from up here. This one, you know, this is an interesting pair of Proverbs. Answer not a fool. Answer a fool. What am I supposed to do? Do I answer or not? Well, let's look at it a little closer. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in your own eyes. So I was reading some commentaries on this, and, you know, we want to be careful when we're talking to a fool that we don't kind of respond in the same foolish way. You know, it's according to his folly, lest you be like him. You know, you don't want to have that passion. We talked about it before, the railing for railing, passion for passion, back and forth. There's a point in time where it just stirs up these angry words and we get caught up in this foolish argument. And if you see it, it's going nowhere. What does it say? Just answer him not. Okay? That's it. I'm not going to get caught up in this argument with you and be taken down this pathway of foolishness. However, there's a time when we need to speak. Answer a fool according to his folly. A fool, if he's not responded to, may think himself to be right. I've won the argument. Have pride and arrogance and say, hey, I have made my point, and my point is valid. But there's times where we need to call on God's grace and wisdom to be able to respond to that fool in a correct way, to set him straight, lest he be wise in his own eyes. But we have to be careful that we not answer in anger. We need to answer with a heart of love, because ultimately we want him to see the truth, God's word. We want to bring him to the truth. So another principle, simple one, and I struggle with this. Think before we speak. How rebuked I am so often as I think about this one. You know, Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. You know, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil. So what a contrast. Thinking, ponder, right? Ponder. You're considering, okay, they said thus and so. I'm in this situation. I ponder. But then there's the wicked. What does he do? He just pours it out. It's just coming. There's no restraint. Nope. It's just coming right out. He says, I'm going to not even think. I'm going to just start speaking. Proverbs 18:13. If one gives an answer before he hears, it's his folly and shame. How often do we start to hear somebody talk? And we think we know exactly what they're going to say. So we don't even let them finish. We don't even let them get the entire thing out. And we're ready to jump right on in there. It's like, oh, no. You're wrong. Right? If you would, let him at least finish his statement. You need to understand what he's saying. It goes back to James, be quick to hear and slow to speak. We're so ready to respond. We're all ready to give an answer before we hear it. And then Proverbs 29:20 says, do you see a man hasty in his words? Not thinking, not listening, just jumping in there. I got the answer. Oh, hey, I got the answer. There's more hope for a fool than that person. So, a principle, think before we speak. Another principle. We need to be wise with the selection of our words. We've already talked about this some. Look at the contrast. Do I select a soft answer or a harsh? Do I use a soft tongue? Or do I have speech that's like a fire scorching? We can speak the truth. But if we speak it in such a way that turns a person off, it has no benefit. Proverbs 15:23 says, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man. And a word in season, how good it is. So we have a combination here of both selection of the words and timing. A word in season, at the right time. As you've been listening to this, you might think, I'm only supposed to say soft words. I'm only not, I'm supposed to be just kind and gentle. There's a time to rebuke. There's a time we need to be very clear to the person and just lay it on the line. That's sin. But we need wisdom to know that right time, that right season. If a person is just, you can tell, if a person is all caught up with emotion, and they're just sort of, almost like, just overcome with their emotion, that may not be the right time to say that word. Will they even listen or hear you? No. Wait till it calms down. Maybe there's some wisdom to that. Wait for the right season. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. We want to have words that are appealing to people. You don't want to have words that, everybody, I hear you, man. You're just, oh. You're harsh. You're just I don't want to hear your words, but we want to seek to be persuasive. We want to seek to have words that are appealing to a person so that they will be apt or likely to hear it. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. It's speaking the truth. There's a way in which we can say truth. I've said this already, but you can say truth, but you can say it in a way that is appealing to a person. If you're going to share the gospel is a beautiful, beautiful thing. We should seek to present it in a way that's appealing to the person. Like apples of gold and settings of silver. It's so nice. You think about a meal, right? You can have a meal, and if it's just kind of thrown on the plate, I can still enjoy it, but, if you go to a fine restaurant and you have the meals all presented all so nicely, it adds to the experience. It helps you to appreciate it more. So, like, a word fitly spoken, the correct word, the right time, importance of our words. Proverbs 17:14 says, the beginning of strife is like letting out water. So quit before the quarrel breaks out. There you are talking. We've talked about this already. You're talking with somebody, going back and forth, having a discussion. And there's a point you have to decide how I'm going to respond. We all know, we all see pictures of dams, right? Holding back the river. When that dam breaks, what happens? It just flows. There's no stopping it. It just goes. The beginning of strife is like letting out waters. You break that dam, you say that word, and boy, you know it's going to happen. I mean, think about it. You're in a discussion. I mean, sometimes we know that. Do we think about that consequence and say, you know, if I say this right now, I know, you know, I could say something. I could say something. Because if you do, you know, think about it. If you do say it, you know it's going to blow up. Okay. So quit before the quarrel breaks out. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. You know, sometimes, again, we're in that conflict. We're in this debate. We need to have a cool spirit. Restrain our words. Don't allow ourselves to just go back. Because once we do, boom. The battle blows up on us. Okay. The wise controls the speech. The wise of heart is discerning. So we talk about it, you're discerning. And sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. These are concepts we've already talked about. But the prudent man, he's looking down that path. He's discerning his path. He's considering what those words will be. And he will seek to have words that are persuasive, that are sweet. The heart of the wise makes the speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Think about what you're going to say. Select the right words. Is it the right time? Is it the right place? Wise words without prudent application can result in no benefit. It may be the wrong time or the wrong place to speak that. And we need to have discernment to know the right time and the right place to speak. Seek to speak wisdom. Proverbs 10:31. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. We need wisdom to seek to speak what is acceptable. We need wisdom to know what is the right thing to say in a situation. We have here two fountains. Proverbs 15. Tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool pours out folly. We have a fountain pouring out folly. Here we have the words of the man's mouth are deep waters, and the fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. There's another fountain. Two fountains. What's the source? Out of the heart. Out of the heart. The words come flowing forward. So we need to have a right heart and a wise heart, because that is the source of that fountain that will come flowing forth. All right? In our final few minutes here then, a couple lessons just to remind ourselves. We've already talked about these, but let's go through it again just as a recap. So our words are important. Would you agree? They have consequences. They can heal or hurt. They can encourage or discourage, bring peace or strife. They can avoid trouble or get us into trouble. They can lead to sin. They can spread knowledge, spread foolishness. Ultimately, they can result in life or death. They have an effect on others. Our words have an effect on ourselves. There's life and death in our words. God's word should guide us. You know, who is able to answer these things? You know? Go back to that one proverb. There's, you know, answer a fool, answer not a fool. What do I do? Well, what do? So we go to God's Word. We go to God's Word and seek to get God's wisdom to know the time to speak and the time to be silent. It's not an easy thing. We need to remember also, think before we speak. Ponder, consider, go back. Think about it. Let them finish what they're saying. Be wise in the selection and timing of your words. Again, the right word, the right time. Finally, it's always wise to restrain our words. I think, before I say that, let me think about it, let me restrain, let me think about it, let me consider what God's Word says. And finally, we need wisdom, do we not? We need wisdom to know the words to speak. We should always seek to discern the consequences. Before you speak that word, take a moment and think. What are the consequences? Will it benefit or will it hurt? We need to be judicious in our speech. So use good judgment. Use sound judgment. Think carefully about the words you're going to use, the timing for those words. Be judicious in our speech. And then, we must speak the truth. We must speak the truth. Use and apply God's Word. God's Word is truth. That should be our guide. That should be what directs us in terms of the use of our words. And then lastly, I would just say this, as we said before, we need a heart that is wise. Right? The heart. The source of our words. As a Christian, we know that we need to look to God's Word for guidance. We need to have a right heart. We need to have a heart of love. We need to have a heart of compassion. We need to have a heart that cares for that lost person. But if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you have a heart that needs to first be changed. These principles are all fine. But your heart is wrong. And you need to get your heart right with God. And then that heart will have a heart that is a source of words that will come flowing forth that be words of wisdom as opposed to words of foolishness. So let us pray. Our dear God and Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. How desperately we need it. We thank you for these Proverbs. They are so instructive. They're so clear. They're so helpful for our day-to-day life in every aspect, Lord, but even particularly as we deal with our words. Lord, we pray that you would help us to govern and control and restrain our words and to use your word as that guide and direction for us. We pray, Father, that we would have a heart that is right with you, a heart that is a heart full of wisdom that has taken in your truth and is ready to share that and spread forth that knowledge with others. We pray, Father, that you would give us hearts that love, hearts that care, hearts that are just taken up with seeking to do your will. We pray, Father, that you help us even this day as we continue to seek to worship you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.